is from the book of Luke. We're reading from Luke chapter 7, verse 36 through to the end of the chapter. If you've got one of the church Bibles, you'll find that on page 864. That's Luke chapter 7, reading from verse 36 to the end of the chapter, and that'll be up on the screen as well. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus, answering him, said this to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, and the other 50. When they could not pay, he cancelled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he cancelled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little, loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at the table with him began to say amongst themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace."
If you've got your Bibles there, we're going to look together at that passage that Ali read to us from Luke chapter 7, beginning from verse 36. The passage tells us about two people at a dinner and about two people in trouble with our bank manager. And we're going to look at that together and see what the Lord would say to us from it. Let's pray together. Father, we turn to your word. We thank you that it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you, Lord, that it's your word and not ours. And we pray now, Lord, that you will speak to us from it, and that the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Two people at a dinner. Now, in the passage just before where we began to read, Jesus had been rebuking the Pharisees. He had been rebuking them for their lack of faith. He had been saying to them, John the Baptist came and he was a poor man, he lived in poverty and fasted out in the desert, and you said, "Oh, we don't want to listen to him, he's too extreme, he's got a demon," they even said about John. And then he said, "I've come and I'm living normally, I'm eating and drinking," and you said, "Oh, this man's just a glutton and a drunkard." He said, you don't want it. Whichever way the truth comes, you don't want it. And then, strangely enough, one of the Pharisees invites Jesus for a meal. Now the Pharisees, they were the respectable folk, weren't they? Pillars of society, pillars in the church of the day, protecting and upholding everything that was valuable. That was the Pharisees. And he invites Jesus to a meal. And into that meal, as well, comes a woman. And all we're told about her is that she was a sinner. She lived a life of sin. And we don't know her name. She was probably a prostitute. She was the sort of woman that the Pharisee wouldn't normally let into his house and wouldn't dare enter it. And yet she came. How very different these two people were. And how very different their reactions were to Jesus. Simon, the Pharisee, he gave Jesus what you could only call a frosty welcome. He had invited him in, and yet it was almost as if he was being coldly polite. You wonder why he bothered inviting Jesus in. Was he wanting to examine this prophet a bit more closely? Was he looking for a fault? Was he just curious to see who this miracle worker was? He certainly wasn't welcoming by the standards of the day. And he didn't believe in Jesus. Verse 39 that we read together. The Pharisee who had invited him saw Jesus' reaction to the lady, and he said, if this man were a prophet, yeah. So he didn't believe that Jesus was a prophet. He can't be a prophet. He can't be a man of God. If he was, he would have known what kind of woman this is. Little did Simon know, Jesus knew his thoughts. He wasn't welcoming. You know, in those days, when a guest came to your house, you had a servant wash their feet. Verse 44 explains it. Look at it. If you've got your Bible in front of you. Jesus says, do you see this woman? And he says, I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet. That's what normally would have been done. Water to wash your feet. He said, you gave me no kiss. Again. You didn't, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You didn't anoint my head with oil. She has anointed my feet with ointment. All these things. Water for your feet. A kiss. Oil for the head. These were part of welcoming people. And this not doing it would be a bit like inviting somebody for a meal. And then sort of you open the door and you let them in and you abandon them, you know, in their wet coats and you don't tell them where to hang it up. You don't tell them where to wash their hands. You don't shake their hands. You barely show them where to sit down. And then you're a bit glum at the table. You know, that's what this is like. And a very frosty welcome. The woman's response to Jesus was totally different. An outpouring of love. An outpouring of love. And in a village community like this, other people might come in to the meal. At the meal, people reclined around the table. Can you picture them? Kind of couches, kind of leaning in like spokes of a wheel, and you kind of rested on your left arm and reached for the food with your right arm, so your feet were back from the table. And other people in the village would maybe come in and join you and sit and listen, you know, a bit like sitting in the big house and hearing the conversation round the table. And that might be how it was that day. So it was a public occasion, a chance for the ordinary people to see the guests in the big house. And into this comes the woman. No one would have expected this lady to come in. Perhaps there were gasps of horror. She came in. What's she doing here? That one? How does she dare show her face here? Perhaps Simon was just about to get his servants to show her the door when he sees her approaching Jesus. And he said, let's hang on a minute, let's see what happens here. Let's have what happens here. And the lady approaches Jesus. We're told that she heard that Jesus was there, and that's why she came. Seems clear that she had met Jesus before, or heard him, or knew that he was the one who forgives, because now she came to thank him. Now she came to thank him. Love was the consequence of having met Jesus before. And she brings this very expensive jar of perfume. She's going to show her love for Jesus. And she knew the depths of her sin. No one more. No one more. And as she kind of kneels at Jesus' feet, she's overcome with emotion. And she weeps, and her tears wet his feet. And then she wipes them with her hair. And then she pours the perfume over them. Hers is a very public demonstration of her love, regardless of the disapproval of the people around her. And there have been lots of disapproval, I'm sure. But she, regardless of it, shows her love for Jesus. Now some people might say that, some people might read this and think that she was forgiven because of her love. Because she loved much, she's forgiven much. But that cannot be. That cannot be. We can never love enough to pay for our sins. The Bible nowhere teaches that we can love enough to atone for sin. What a teaching of despair that would be, eh? Love me enough and I'll forgive you your sins. When would we ever know that we loved him enough? And you can't command love like that, can you? You can't command love like that. The old hymn writer said, could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. It's Jesus who saves. Sin must be atoned for. Sin is forgiven because of his sacrifice, not because of our love. And her love was a response. She was saved because of her faith. Verse 50 tells us that. Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So she kneels at his feet. She weeps. She anoints them with perfume. And she gives a very, very public and costly demonstration of her love. I wonder, who are we like this morning? Are we like Simon? You know, it's possible to be like Simon, you know, and come along to church and go through the sort of the polite motions of Christianity. Just the way he went through the polite motions of being a guest, but there was no warmth in it. Couldn't be. It's polite. It's possible to do that. No warmth in our hearts. Or are we like the woman? Full of love for the Lord Jesus. Simon's frostiness got even frostier as he watched this. He made two assumptions. He said, this man can't be a prophet. If he was a prophet, he would know who this woman is. And he wouldn't let her touch him. He wouldn't let her touch him. So he was thinking of sitting here watching what was going on. Can't be a prophet. If he were, he wouldn't let this woman touch him. You see, Simon's religion was a religion of rules and works. Keep the law, keep it right, and you'll be okay. Break them and you're lost. This woman had broken all the rules. She shouldn't even be allowed to touch a decent man. There'd be no forgiveness in Simon's religion. Just judgment and rules. Forgiveness might even have seemed an offence to Simon. You know, how could this woman be accepted like I am? I'm upright and respectable, and she's the dregs of society. Poor old Simon, eh? He's sitting there thinking this, and he didn't realize that Jesus knew his thoughts, knew exactly what he was thinking, eh? Just as he knows our thoughts right now. But happily, Jesus, who knew all about this lady, who knew her sin, but he had come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That was why he'd come. And isn't that good news, eh? I'm so glad he came to call sinners to repentance. Because I couldn't come if he didn't come to call sinners to repentance. It's for people like this lady that Jesus came, people like me. He came to forgive sin, to touch a sinful world with grace. And that's what Simon didn't understand. But I'm glad that's the gospel. I'm glad that's the gospel that we can preach today in Craigentinny, to Edinburgh. That Jesus welcomes sinners. He doesn't condone sin, but he welcomes sinners. He never said your sin doesn't matter. But the people who had made the biggest mess of their lives knew that they would be accepted when they came to Jesus. And their lives were turned round and made new in Christ. So this woman showed her great love because she had been greatly forgiven. And Jesus tells this second parable about the two men in trouble with the bank manager. He tells that to help Simon realize where he was getting it wrong. Two men had borrowed money from the local bank manager, the local money lender, and they couldn't pay. Eh? And he says, forget it. Forget it. You don't need to pay it back. Now, have you got a bank manager like that? Anybody got a bank manager like that here? Wouldn't it be great, eh? But we don't. This is the economy of grace, not the economy of the market or works. This is the economy of grace. And Jesus just loved to tell parables like this. One of these men owed about 2 months' wages, and one of them owed about 18 months' wages. Which one of them would love him most? Well, Simon was a bit hesitant about answering this one, eh? He said, well, I suppose, perhaps he could see where this was going. I suppose the one who was forgiven most. And Jesus says, you have answered correctly. You have judged rightly. And he looked at the woman. He said, see this woman? She's shown extravagant love to me. And he pointed out to Simon where he got it wrong. You didn't wash my feet. She's washed my feet with her tears. You didn't anoint my head. She has anointed my feet. You didn't give me a kiss. She's kissed my feet. This woman with her extravagant love is because she knows she has been forgiven a lot. She is like the man who's been pardoned the enormous debt. And she knows it. You, Simon, you're like the man who's been forgiven the smaller debt. At least that's what you think. You think you've only got a small debt. And that's why you don't love me. Now we're all in God's debt. We're all in God's debt. The Bible makes that very clear. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. There are no exceptions here. There are differences perhaps in how badly how many wild oats we've sown. Hitler, for example, must be different from Hudson Taylor, the founder of the China Inland Mission. There must be a difference somewhere there, but the debt is unpayable, be it small or be it big, as it were. And which of us knows that pride and self-righteousness are any lesser sins than drunkenness or adultery or even murder? Neither of these people in the parable of the two debtors could pay off their debt. And neither the Simon the Pharisee or the woman could work for the pardon for their sins. And you see, here we see a warning about the deceitfulness of our own hearts. You see, Simon's sitting there. He was probably a close friend of the other Pharisee and would have thought the same way as the Pharisee that we read about in Luke 18. I'll just read you that few verses there. If you've got a Bible there, turn to Luke 18 verse 9. Luke chapter 18 verse 9. And Jesus is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. He said, two men went into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you, I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector here. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, could not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, the tax collector, went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For everyone who humbles himself, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself or be exalted. Simon will have had that way of thinking, you know. I'm not like this woman. I don't need forgiveness. This traveling teacher and miracle worker, well, he has nothing to offer me. See how easily it is, how easy it is for our hearts to deceive us. We can see other people's sin. That's easy, isn't it? We can see everybody else's faults, but we don't see our own. We don't see our own. Whatever they are, the pride, self-righteousness, the envy, the unbelief, we don't see it. But we see the other things in somebody else. So both the Pharisee and the woman were sinners. Both were responsible for their debt of sin. But the Pharisee was listening to his deceitful heart. His deceitful heart. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. We're responsible for our sin. We can't shrug it off. God won't accept our excuses. So we're all in God's debt. We're all like the two debtors. How can you sort out a debt? Well, you can pay it off, or somebody else can pay it off for you, or it can be cancelled. Now, we can't pay off our own debt. We cannot. The Bible is quite clear. None. There is none righteous. No, not one. No, not one. So, we can't pay off our own debt. So, either it has to be cancelled or somebody else has to pay it. And the only person who can accept that a debt be paid off is the one that you owe it to. So it's God. God is the only person who can either cancel our debt or allow somebody else to pay it off. And that's what he's done, isn't it? That's what he's done. Christ died for sins once for all. The righteous for the unrighteous to bring us to God. You see, God hasn't just simply turned a blind eye to sin. He says, oh, it doesn't matter. You know, like a grandfather figure who says, well, it doesn't really matter what the children do as long as they enjoy themselves. God isn't like that. God is holy, 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 holy. Lord God Almighty. He has a purer eyes than to look on sin. He couldn't just turn away. He wouldn't be just if he did that. But Jesus took our debts and paid them. And all who trust in him are forgiven. That's the glory of the gospel. That's the glory of the gospel. We're forgiven because Jesus has died in our place. Guilty, vile, and helpless, we, spotless Lamb of God was He. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah. What a Savior. And it's the result of this forgiving love, this paying of our debts, is the overflowing of love that we see in this lady. Thank you. It's her saying thank you. So, because gratitude is the response of love. We love Him because He first loved us. You know, sometimes I feel that our love for Christ isn't as warm as it should be, because we don't fully realize the enormous debt of sin that Jesus has paid for us. We don't understand the sinfulness of sin. Perhaps we feel we've been forgiven little, so we only love little. We don't realize that all sin is great. All sin is great. We sort of feel that we're quite nice people. We always were quite nice people, you know. We grew up as good Presbyterians, or good Baptists, or whatever we were, you know. And one of the first things that happens when we meet Jesus and we learn of Him is that He shows us our sinfulness, and He saves us from our pride and our self-righteousness, for thinking we can earn our own way to God. And He brings us, He wanted to bring Simon, as He had brought the woman, in humility to the foot of the cross. We all need to realize that our debt of sin, be whatever it is, and I don't know how you could measure it, because it's always unpayable, however we have lived. But Jesus has died to pay that debt. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment that brings us peace is upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Can you say it? Can you say it? Can you make it personal? He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The punishment that brings me peace is upon Him, and with His stripes I am healed. Can you say it? Can you say it this morning? Or are you like Simon still, thinking that you don't really need it? My prayer this morning is that we should all be like this woman, at His feet, full of joy, because we've realized the greatness of salvation. That we've come to understand the riches of His glorious inheritance in us, and the wonder of forgiveness. Is there anyone here this morning and you can't say those words? Can't say, well, I'm not sure, still not sure that He died for me. Then come to Him. He calls you. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Don't stay away. I died for you. I died for you. And come and find that forgiveness. And for those of us who know Him, may God open our eyes to the wonder of His salvation. Open our eyes more to what He has done for us, and give us those hearts to love Him. Oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that always feels the blood so freely shed for me. May God bless His word to us this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for that great salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. That, for that great love that lifted us, those of us who know you, from the depths of sin and has brought us into your family. Thank you, Father. Oh Lord, may our hearts burn within us as we think of that great love, and as now, in a few moments, we meet around your table and remember that death for us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.